Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Holler, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, I am very happy to announce that our guest is Lynn Caston. In the 1960s, after graduating from Cornell, he entered the U.S. Air Force Aviation Cadet Program. While in the Air Force, he experienced a UFO encounter that had a transformative effect on his life, although he would not realize it until many years later. But before we get started, please join me in a hand of applause in welcoming my co-host, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Maureen. Thank you very much. Happy you to sound, be here and excited about the show.
You sound good. I know you haven't been feeling well, and I'm really glad you're here.
Thank you. I feel good this evening. As I said, I'm very excited about the show. I think the subject is absolutely fascinating.
Yes, it's very real, too, as far as I'm concerned. Well, Steve, what do you do? Who are you? Where do you come from?
Well, the last few days I haven't done a lot. I haven't been well, but I'm from the UK originally, where I saw a lot of crop circles, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that when we have our discussion later in the show. And I am a psychic medium. I give readings at psychicaccess.com. I enjoy my spiritual work, and I have to say that the more I work, the more time goes by, the more I realize the importance of being very open-minded, because there are so many unanswered questions, and it's important to be very open to all possibilities.
Yes, exactly. I mean, people are open to what we do now more than ever.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Steve. And hi, Brenda. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, besides having to move my whole family all over the planet today. But it's a wonderful day out. It's beautiful in California. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Over here, too, where I...
It's like we summer.
It always is. We have it made in California. No bugs, too. Brenda, can you please enlighten us with what you do?
Well, just like the rest of the beautiful people on this panel here, I work at PsychicAccess.com. I'm a pretty traditional psychic. I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and that's what I do.
I like the predictive psychic. In fact, I've never heard anybody with that, with that credential.
Well, you know what? It takes a lot of courage to just jump out there and tell them exactly a date, but you know, it comes to me, so I just say it.
I know, that's really cool. I admire that. I respect it. I want that. and hello, Bobby. Hello, Bobby.
Hola.
Chacho. And Bobby, how are you, and what do you do?
Like every day, or you just mean,
you know, what you know? Do you do show tunes? Do you
I do, yeah. Would you like a Broadway tune? I could do
My Fair Lady.
Well. That's yeah. Funny. Actually, yeah. I used to. I am a professional singer and I also do some acting and such. And I was actually the lead in Oklahoma at one point. So yeah,
wow.
I could do a show tune if you like. But otherwise, I am also a psychic medium and co-hosting the show with you as well. And I'm with Steve. I love doing this over and over again because it just expands and always changes. And just right when you think you develop a particular knowingness that something is a certain way, it changes and then opens up your level of understanding to a whole new degree. So I love the work that we do.
Yes, we all love our work. It's a lot of work too. But it's good work.
It's good work.
So I would like to just discuss real quickly about Lynn. In 1995, when he was in Washington and active in the UFO disclosure movement, Lynn participated in the public protest at the Government Accounting Office for the release of the Roswell files. We all know about Roswell. I mean, everybody knows about that. But by 2010, Lynn had written 52 articles for Atlantis Rising, including 8 cover stories. So over that 14-year period, Lynn attended the annual week-long UFO conference in Laughlin, Nevada, where he met and attended the lectures of hundreds of UFO investigators, researchers, and writers from all over the world, several of whom he interviewed for the Atlantis Rising. It is now generally recognized that understanding the UFO ET phenomena requires knowledge of metaphysics as well as analysis of the evidence. Since Lynn was able to bring his extensive metaphysical background into the writing of The Secret History of Extraterrestrials, the book achieves a depth of understanding of the phenomena not otherwise possible. It's a great book. I've been reading it, by the way. So for more information, please visit his website at www.et-secrethistory.com. We also will have that information on our guest page. And we have Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine. Thank you so much. You know, it's my understanding that you're at a UFO conference right now.
I am indeed. Yes, I am. I'm in Fort McDowell near Phoenix. And well, it's a very good conference.
Well, that's fantastic. And I really appreciate you taking the time out from there to do our lovely show here. I've been reading your book, and I just find I'm just in awe with it. It's incredible. Lynn, I would like to know if you've had an experience with a UFO encounter before, yes?
Yes, I did while I was in the Air Force.
And what was that? What was that about? I mean, did you have an open mind? Was it something you were looking? I mean, did you think about that happening ever, or just kind of, you know?
I didn't know a UFO from a hole in the ground at that point. I never even heard the term. I'd never even heard the term UFO at that point.
So was it right after that that you opened up to where you now are a researcher, you know, writer, investigator? Was that right after that encounter, or
no? It wasn't immediately after, because whatever I had learned in that encounter was buried somewhere in my subconscious, and I really wasn't aware of it. So I had embarked on a very conventional life, and then all of a sudden I found myself joining the UFO organization in Washington, D.C. I didn't even know why I was doing it.
So obviously this is your path. This is what you're supposed to do in this life, this work. It wasn't something that, this is interesting.
It became obvious to me after a while, because what happened was I was drawn to metaphysics, and I studied at the Casey Institute in Virginia Beach extensively. I practically lived in that library. Now, I didn't realize it at the time, but more than likely it was that UFO encounter that pushed me in that direction in the first place, because that led directly into the UFO material.
So right.
By the time I got to UFOs, I'd already had a pretty extensive metaphysical background.
Which you talk about is actually extremely important, considering the fact that you've... Well, you know, the book, from what I understand also, is a direct reflection of the 14 years of research into your writing. Is that true?
So yes, it is, absolutely. I wrote many articles for Atlantis Rising on UFOs, yeah.
And then decided to put it into the book, a book format of some sort, which is, I've been reading the book, and
I made the proposal to the publisher, and he loved it immediately and said, because he already knew that I had been writing for Atlantis Rising, and he liked Atlantis Rising, and he thought, after looking at the 52 articles that I had written, he saw that immediately we could put 26 of them together into a comprehensive book on UFOs and extraterrestrials, which really was not repetitive. It sort of followed a narrative, and that was amazing, but it was true.
Well, everybody listening, and also there's other co-hosts on that you can't hear them. They're on with us. This book is incredible. And in fact, I've been reading it, like I said, and I'm just in awe with it. And it's incredible. And, you know, what I would like to know if you could tell us a little bit about the role the extraterrestrials have been, as far as in the military and the government, in the past, as well as right now. I mean, well, it's been going on.
The role, it's been a very, very extensive role, and there have been extraterrestrials really involved in our government for a long time. And not only our government, but other governments as well. So while I didn't, in my book, I did not really get into the ancient astronaut theory, nevertheless, that is also true, I believe. I tried to limit my material to the more modern, to the modern era. And but I did have one article in there on extraterrestrials in Giza, in Egypt, in my interview with Robert Duvall.
Now, is that the Iraqi Stargate? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I talked about the Iraqi Stargate and also my interview with Robert Poval, who discovered the Orion star system. Orion was a reflection of the three pyramids of Giza were a reflection of the Orion star system. And he was the one that really ultimately had to admit in that interview that the pyramids were probably built by extraterrestrials. It was reluctantly, but he finally did admit it.
So did he? Any, you know, I was reading about also the what is it? The it's called I forget where they keep everything in, they keep everything you know, quiet.
The black budget.
Yeah. So you're saying is about the hold on a minute. I'm sorry. I lost my thought. The black world is about the people that are no longer, or they refuse to bring up to everybody in a world they're protecting information, and you call it the black world. So people are very, there is a lot of people that are very aware that indeed this is, I mean, we have been living with our eyes closed for so long, but the people now, people, as norm people, everybody in the world as well, are opening their eyes, and also some people are coming out without the repercussions that they once felt that were, you know, something to fear. Is that so?
Well, they just can't hide it anymore. It's just like a dam, you know. It's, the dam is broken through now, and it's impossible to stop the flooding because the Internet has made it virtually impossible to keep any secrets anymore. And for those who are have ears and eyes, they're going to find out the information. And, even today, the commercials during the Super Bowl, we're all about aliens and extraterrestrials. So, you know, it's mainstream now. Facebook has become mainstream.
Well, yeah, you know, actually, maybe this is what our 2012 is all about. You know, this 2012, you know, I'm not with the doom and gloom and stuff. And perhaps this is what we're in the beginning of. We're not going to be able to, I mean, maybe the new beginning is that everybody's going to be opened up to, we are all living on this earth together with other people that may not be from this place. And as well as, you know, what I wanted to ask you about Roswell, because everybody knows, I mean, everybody knows that word. I mean, that topic is a household name, you know, that's been a very like open topic, but it seems like after that happened, it seems like quickly or more.
I'm sorry.
Or the pace was a lot quicker. That things started to go for us in technology. Lynn, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I lost you there for a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. So what I wanted to know is, because Roswell is such a household topic, you know, people have always been, and they've had that TV show on like years ago. But it seems to me after that time period when that happened, that story came out, how fast the pace was where our technology came about quicker than ever. And to me, how can they dismiss the story to be so absurd? Because it's almost like, didn't we take something that landed? I mean, we took that technology, made it our own. Did it? I mean, isn't that, to me, my view anyway?
You know, we did, and it wasn't completely us. I'm writing another book now, and I'm going into more detail about that. What happened was we had one survivor. There was one survivor of the Roswell crash. And there was one alien. And he was sent to Los Alamos and lived for another 5 years. And in that five-year period, we learned a lot from him, even though the language barrier was enormous. Because they spoke in tonal variations, just like in the movie Close Encounters. And we had our best language people trying to decipher his language from 18 different universities. And finally, we were able to to get through the breakthrough, and learned a lot from him, and that's what started our technology. That's what started us building our own anti-gravity craft.
Wow.
That was the beginning.
But we didn't give the credit to where it belonged, did we? Just, you know, we're working. You know, that to me is, well, again, that was just something that was kind of. So do you think Roswell, isn't there only like one person alive today from that directly that was related to that story? Is that true? Only one person or something?
If you read Don Schmidt's book, Witness to Roswell, he interviewed everyone possible for his book, Witness to Roswell, and I think he did say that, as I recall, I saw Don not too long ago, I think he did say that there was maybe one person left that had direct knowledge of the Roswell crash, that they had most of them had died. But, yeah, that's right. There aren't many left, maybe one or two.
So Lynn, are you at the conference right now? What are you doing there? Are you a speaker there, and are there new things?
No, I'm just in the audience, and I'm meeting all my friends here. I know many of the people that are here, and I know many of the speakers. So just really in networking more than anything.
Well, you know, I read about right now that it was November 2011, CBS News, this is from the CBS News source, that the U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists on or outside our planet, or that extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. And they quoted that. So the message came in response to two petitions posted on the White House. The people, signed.
Okay, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so actually that's a good thing. I mean, because the Obama administration immediately disclosed the government's knowledge and communications with extraterrestrial beings. Is that so? I mean, that's what it said.
Apparently, yeah. Despite all the efforts of Steve Bassett and the Paradigm Research Group, which he's the one that got all the petitions and got all the signatures, and they're just saying they don't know anything about it, which is of course baloney. We all know that.
But this is a great thing
He's just carrying on the fraud. That's all the other presidents have done.
But this is for instance, I came across this information. I mean, now people are they launched in November 2011 the Mars Science Laboratory rover. They marched that they marched out at the which is, you know, to land on the Mars Gale, you know, so it's almost like in a way they can deny all they want, but then they can launch something like that. You know, for people that don't know, I wanted to talk a couple things about in your book, some of the things that Davenport's theory. Could you explain? I mean, makes sense to me. Could you explain to our listeners what, and also the teleportation technology that we are already probably most likely in? Or that's how people, you know, connect with us.
I think that we have teleportation technology, and that's why I did want to write that chapter about the Iraqi Stargate, because the theory wasn't original with me. It came from Richard Henry and from Michael Sala. I came up with that chapter based on my interview with Michael Sala, who had written an extensive article on it on the Internet. And Michael, as you know, was the one that conceived the whole idea of exopolitics and has started the Exopolitics Institute. But Richard Henry embroidered on it, and the more research I did, the more I realized that it probably was true that was the real reason for the invasion of Iraq, was to get our hands on the Stargate technology, which Hussein had been more or less trying to develop along with some archaeological help from the Germans and the French. So when we invaded Iraq, one of the first things we did was go to that museum and looted the museum for 5 days. And what we were after were those 5,000-year-old scrolls that depicted the Stargate and the use of the Stargate. So it all fit together, and it made sense, and I came to the conclusion that Michael was absolutely right about it.
That's incredible. And in fact, when I was reading about that's one of the things that blew me away. I mean, that goes back. I mean, the pyramids, and when we get into that stuff, I mean, to me, it seems. I mean, in everything that people have seen written on walls or in cave, whatever, you know, about the people explorers that came to us, and we integrated with them, we started looking differently. Anyway, I kind of get that. You know, no doubt it had happened. So, but the Davenport's theory about time travel.
Yeah.
I found that real fascinating. Could you kind of give us like an overview of what that's all about? I'm sure people have never heard of that, maybe. But
well, I think that there's no way that aliens could be covering these vast distances without actually going through time, because we're talking about even 38 light years is a huge distance. Even 4 light years is a huge distance. And really, it's a matter of going through space-time. They know how to do that. And we learned that to be the case when we sent 12 astronauts to the alien planet Serpo in 1965, because we had an opportunity to view the technology that they used to travel 38 light years, and it had to do with time travel. So that confirmed it. That made it pretty much certainty that the Einsteinian theory that time is just a fourth dimension of space is really true. It's just another dimension of space, and it can't be bent, and we can't go through wormholes and cover vast distances in a very short period of time.
So it would make sense that. So do you think that we're getting to the point? You know, actually, Brenda is one of my co-hosts. She has a question, Brenda. If it's not okay?
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the Iraqi Stargate thing, because I think that's fascinating. Have you ever read any of the books by Zachariah Sitchin about the Babylonians?
Yeah, I read The 12th Planet, and I read The Wars of Gods and Men. Mm-hmm. I think I read one other. And I wrote an article about Sitchin in one of my articles for Atlantis Rising, as a matter of fact, way back.
Yeah, he talks about, and I was going to get your take on this, on how the ziggurats, those temples, were where the gods did the transportation and the time travel through the ziggurats, and also he talked about the aliens, the people from the stars, doing DNA experiments with humans, you know, in animals on this planet. What do you think about that? Have you ever heard of that?
Well, I have. I have a whole chapter in my book on the hybrid program.
Oh, well, I got to get your book, honey.
Yeah. It's incredible.
I got a whole chapter. They've been creating hybrids between humans and aliens now for about, since 1954. That's well advanced, and I covered it in great detail in my book.
And animals, too. There's hybrids with animals, too, I believe.
I don't know about that. I do know that, you know, some of those old Egyptian statues of entities that were half animal and half human, you know, I think that's been going on for a long time, too. Not on this planet, but I think on other planets for sure.
Huh. Well, it's fascinating stuff. If I look at some of these different, there are some animals that they seem like they're, you know, they've been manipulated, their genes, because they're too perfect. Do you know what I mean? So,
well, what are you referring to? What kind of animals?
I'm talking about the Egyptian greyhound, and it's not that I'm obsessed with greyhounds, but it's almost like it's bred to have no body fat. It's like unlike any other dog, and there's all over the pyramids, and it comes actually from that area, that dog.
Yeah, so, well, I do think the early Egyptians did have extraterrestrial communications and contact. Yes. And I think it happened mainly through the Temple of Dendera. And of course, as I said, Robert Bovell admitted that he did believe that the pyramids were probably built either by extraterrestrials or with extraterrestrial technology.
Well, they would have to be. If you go there and you see it, it's like all those theories they come up with about how they're going to build the pyramids. When you see it, you're like, I don't think so.
I know. Exactly.
You know, and it's like, and then there's Saqqara, the city of the dead, the necropolis, where they say that there's the UFO landing pad. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Interesting.
Saqqara, you mean the half step pyramid in Saqqara?
Saqqara. It's the necropolis of Saqqara. The step pyramid is next to it. Necropolis is the city of the dead where they had the mummified ibis birds, and it was a funeral city, but it's called a necropolis.
Yeah, so. I've been there. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's different. It's so different. The architecture is just so looks it's strange. It's almost otherworldly.
So. Well, you know, I came to the conclusion that the Step Pyramid was an attempt to try and duplicate the Great Pyramid, but it was a failure. It was a very crude attempt to try and duplicate the Great Pyramid and the three pyramids of Giza.
There's the other pyramids too, and they all tried to duplicate them, and none of them have been duplicated. So
right, exactly.
It's amazing.
I think the Great Pyramid came first, and that was ancient. The Great Pyramid, I think, although Robert Laval says 2500 BC, I Laval admitted that he thought the Sphinx maybe was 10,500 BC, but I think the Great Pyramid was also. So there was this ancient technology, and there was ancient contact with the aliens. And since the aliens knew how to mess around with DNA, and they knew all about genetics, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they had created some half animal, half humans at that point.
It's fascinating to me that it's almost like a genetically created creature. And how would they do something like that? It's one of the oldest dog breeds. It's 6,000 years old. Its heart's the same size as a human. It's interesting. Exactly. I think it's interesting.
Well, you know, they're supposedly doing that in that underground base in northern New Mexico, in Dulce. That they're still working with that. That aliens are still doing that underground. So apparently it hasn't gone away.
Wow. Well, thank you for your information. I don't want to.
That was great, Brenda. Thank you for asking that question and talking about that. That was fascinating. In fact, I saw one of those dogs. Well, I'll talk about that later. I just recently met one of those dogs you're talking about. And I did, honestly.
You say you met one? Was it at a party or what?
I was visiting my old mother. I was like, what kind of dog? And this woman visiting her mother, has this dog. It's gorgeous. She rescued this dog because they were racing them or something. I don't know. It was interesting. But
there are some wall carvings in Egypt that even show electricity. There's something that looked like an electric bulb there. So they had a lot of technology that we don't really know how they could have gotten it at that point.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to give them anybody else credit for where because we're all that and then some, I guess, aren't we? Lynn, what's your view personally? Well, a lot of people come up to you, perhaps, or contact you about them having personal abductions by extraterrestrials. How do you, I have an open mind. I mean, believe you me, I do. But how do you verify what is fact or is not or? Are you just open to listening to anything? I mean, coming to your own conclusion, I guess. But can you share with us maybe some very interesting, without going against anybody or anything like that? But some people just find this so sci-fi, and really, it's not. I mean, it's people have these experiences that are real.
You're talking about abductions. Is that what you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, 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 yes.
Well, I mean, we had two extensive books on it, three extensive books on it by John Mack, Bud Hopkins, and David Jacobs. I mean, case after case after case. So I don't think there's any question at all about the abduction. In fact, it's gotten to the point now where almost everybody believes in abductions. No matter who you talk to, he was abducted by aliens. It's not that strange a subject anymore.
Yeah, you're right. It isn't a strange subject anymore at all. I mean, we're coming into a really good time period in our world, I think, that we're going to be able to see. You just spoke about the, in Mexico. You were just speaking in New Mexico about how they're working. So the extraterrestrial are people not from this planet working alongside of people from the planet, us.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, so what is the thing about, I mean, I wonder what it feels like for them not to to be such a secret, to be hidden. Is it, I mean...
To the aliens or what?
to the aliens. I mean, it's kind of, to me, I ponder that notion because it's almost like insulting.
What do you mean exactly?
Well, if people that aren't from this planet working alongside of people like are from here, and them knowing, I mean, they're actually very, you know, intelligent, them knowing that it's not public knowledge or it's not outwardly yet completely, you know, we're not walking around, like, there'll come a day, I'm sure, we wouldn't be having this conversation because it would be going on already. It's normal. It's no big deal. And
exactly.
So I'm wondering what they would feel like as far as, you know, working alongside of people that are from here, but not being able to, you know, well, I don't know. Maybe they are hanging out with amongst us all. I mean, I just wonder. I mean, do you talk about this kind of thing, or have you ever met anybody that is from you personally?
Well, you know, I live in the Phoenix area. I think I mentioned that at one point. And there's so much going on here. This is literally becoming the epicenter of the whole movement. There's hundreds of people belonging to organizations here that are involved with this, and many of them claim that to be dealing with aliens. So it's not that unusual a topic here to hear it discussed that so-and-so has met an alien and so-and-so has met an alien. And now I've come to the conclusion that they really are among us, and there's a lot more of them than you would believe. The ones working at Dulce, though, are working in secret on black budget programs, and they have their own agenda. And they're working with humans because they want the human DNA. So and apparently we've made a deal with them that we'll let them have that if they'll give us some technology. Huh. And that's apparently what's going on down there.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, is there something that we should? I mean, is that, you know, who's the big guy, or who has the right to be making deals with anybody? Shouldn't we all be part of this? And
it should be, because it violates our freedom, absolutely, and it violates our rights to allow them to abduct people in the middle of the night. For our government to allow that. And not to bring in the FBI and the CIA and everybody else and say, wait a minute, you can't abduct these people. They're from Earth. Well, you know, that's not happening. Nobody's protecting us, okay? So we made the deal with them, and they do what they want to do.
So is there anybody, I know people are, you know, that are in the higher, I guess would be the higher positions in the military and so forth. There are some people, or there's more people than there were before, that are speaking out about this now because it's the moral thing to do.
Yes, that is happening. Yep.
And do you find it that through the years you've been involved, I mean, which has been quite a while, that this is happening more and more? I mean, pretty soon it will break down the whole order of things, or, you know, what they think is the order of things will completely be breaking down to where, you know, we have access or the rights, you know, where everything was going to come out. I mean, do you feel that in the next coming years, this is going to be something, like I said, maybe we wouldn't be talking about, it'll be out?
Yeah, I do. I think, first of all, there are many different civilizations involved here. We have visitors from many different star systems here, and not all of them are good. So some of them are here because they have their own agenda, and they're using human DNA to create a hybrid race. This hybrid race, we know it exists already because many, many people who have been abducted have met the hybrids. So they know who they are. Spielberg made a whole television series about it called Taken.
And, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I watched that. That was a very good show. That was a whole series. That's right. I watched that.
Right. And I have a chapter in my book on that subject. So, you know, it's not something that we can stop, apparently. Point. I think it got out of hand. I think what happened was the government made the deal with them in the 50s, and then it got out of hand, and there was nothing we could do to stop it. I think that's what happened. Because they had the upper hand.
So that sounds pretty scary. It sounds like, I don't know, like, because you said there's a lot of different, it's not just like there's one alien land here from some certain planet and that's it. It's there's a lot of different areas, and some of them aren't all
that. That's the price of secrecy. That's the price of secrecy, and we're paying that price now. So if it's too late for them to open it up or admit it now because there's so much water under the bridge. What are they, you know, for them to admit it now would be horrendous for them at this point.
Well, that's for sure. But we're going to take a short commercial break, and a one-minute commercial break, and we'll be right back from psychicaccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back, and we're speaking to Lynn Kasten about extraterrestrials. And Lynn, I wanted to ask you also about, well, you know, if you were talking to somebody that completely would have no knowledge or any interest or anything else about what we've been talking about what's really going on, what would you, I mean, this book you read isn't for people to convince people or anything. It is what it is, you know, it is what it is. And what would you, is there anything that you would like to, you know, because like I said, we have listeners that probably, you know, that are closed-minded or not, I don't know. But what would you like to bring to the attention to anybody that would have no insight into this at all? I mean,
well, my advice would be for them to be as open-minded as possible. You know, I had a friend that said, well, you know, there's a difference between having an open mind and having a hole in your head. So you got to draw the line somewhere. But I think they should stretch their mind and their ability and their open-mindedness to the point almost as far as they can, because the reality is so fantastic that even no matter how much they open their mind, they're still not going to be able to grasp what's actually happening. That's how incredible it is. I mean, you look out into the night sky and you see zillions of star systems, and they're all basically inhabited. You know, and even the scientists are saying that now. Now we've now identified 500 planets that could have the same kind of life form that we have. So, you know, we're living in the same kind of an age that people lived in around Columbus's time, where nobody believed that there could be another continent if they sailed west.
You know, and the world was flat.
Right. It's the same kind of mindset, and those people couldn't stretch their minds to believe that. And we've got to do the same thing. We've got to stretch our minds to the limit, because the reality is so amazing.
Well, you know, what the president, I know are you right about the presidents of the United States anyway, well, as well as, you know, what was going on with the World War One and Two, but as far as US of A, was there any presidents that you feel that may have been more open or thought perhaps maybe it was wrong with keeping things from the public? Were there
I think so. I think Eisenhower was the last one to have the whole story. And the reason he had the whole story is because he knew about their involvement in World War II. Because as a general in Europe, he had heard all the stories, and he had the intelligence. And I have two chapters in my book on that subject. But the last president to have any real knowledge about it was Nixon. Perhaps the older Bush, because he was the head of the CIA. Kennedy was only given a very small part of it. And The others really have been giving just bits and pieces. Carter wanted the information. Carter knew enough to ask the right questions, but they wouldn't give him any information. So the presidents have basically been kept out of the loop.
Isn't that interesting? And that's what
Clinton admitted it. Clinton admitted it. He said he couldn't get the answers to it, to these questions.
You know, I guess it would take one president maybe to really, I mean, just come out with it if they wanted to, I guess, it without the repercussions. I guess that they probably fear that it would be involved. But well, you talk about the new classified physics.
Yes.
That really scientifically saying really that things that what you talk about in the book and how people it makes sense scientifically. It's valid, isn't that so? So people prior to that would say no, you know, as far as physics go, this can't be possible. This can't. But that is no longer the case, isn't that true?
The real physics is way beyond Einstein already. Okay, but it's being kept under wraps strictly among the military industrial complex. But the physicists that work under black programs are so far ahead of conventional physics that's being taught in the universities that the gap is unbelievable. Anti-gravity is no longer a mystery. Everyone knows that now because we already know that the B-2 bomber has anti-gravity built into it. I've got a chapter in my book on that. The science that they're using in secret is far, far in advance of what's being taught in the universities at this point. I would say perhaps around 50 years ahead. That's my estimate. That's my guess.
Wow. So this conference that you're at, you said I asked you at the break, it's a five-day-long conference?
Yeah.
And from people all over the world come together?
Yeah, absolutely. People from all over the world here. It's probably about, I don't know, between 500 and 1,000 people here, something like that.
That's incredible. So the fact that there's so much information that and networking, like you said, going on, is there anything that's kind of exciting right now going on as far as Lynn, what's your objective, I guess, in this all? What's your goal? What's your objective to attain to help get some the information out to or, you know,
My objective is, since the government is not going to make the admission, and I don't think they ever will, because they have just too much to lose by it, they'll lose credibility, they'll lose, actually some of them could be brought up on criminal charges. That's how serious it is. So I don't think you'll ever see that happen. What could happen to end this embargo would be a mass landing. The aliens might just take matters into their own hands, and rather than just dealing with individuals and small groups, they might just come out and do a mass landing. That's my guess is that's the most likely eventuality. So people like myself, what I'm interested in doing, since the government's not doing it, is to prepare the public consciousness for that event and for the big changes that are coming. And there's huge changes in technology, in science, in the way we live, in medicine, in everything you can think of. The aliens are way, way ahead of us. And they could solve all of our problems literally overnight if we allowed it. But the oil companies and the banks are not going to let that happen right now. So people like me, what we have to do is just try and prepare the public consciousness for what's coming the best way we can. Because people need to be prepared. And otherwise, the culture shock would be incredible.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm writing my books, and that's why all the people I know here are writing their books. Same thing, it's all the same motivation.
So do you think there's so much positive rather than not for this, for us all just to, you know, get along, come on out with it? I mean, the coming out party, I mean, isn't there more positive that could come from this? But it would be a big shock. I mean, people would have heart attacks, I'm sure. And also the Vatican, you know, you talk about the religious end of it would be, you know, and a whole other thing. But
Vatican knows all about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I believe they do. I believe what you're saying is true, because they even made a remark about it in so many ways. But the thing of it is, it would start everybody in the religion. You know, I don't want to get into religion stuff, but that right there in itself. I mean, I'm surprised. Well, the fact of it is, it hasn't happened yet. But do you feel that it's going to be here sooner than later? I mean, I'm surprised that some of these aliens have been going along with it as long as they have.
I do think it will be sooner than later. Yes, I do. I think it's going to be happening very soon, and possibly this year, that they can no longer keep it under wraps. It's just bulging at the edges now, and it's all going to. They're not going to be able to keep up the pretense anymore. It's just impossible. And then, of course, if the aliens decide to do a mass landing, that's the end of it. That's the end of disclosure. There's no further questions. So. And I think that right now the world needs this new technology. We need it badly. We need the energy solution. We need the biomedical solutions. We need all the things the aliens, I mean, amazing things that they can offer us if we just open up to it. So,
yeah. It would be a win-win situation, then, is what you're saying. If you know, for the world, not for everybody to keep it under wraps anymore, but for the rest of us that really do need this, you're right. It would make all the difference to us. But still,
you know,
we're
Jimmy,
so.
In my book, I made reference to a quote by Jimmy Carter. I don't know if you read the introduction to the book, where we sent out a message on the golden record into the universe when we sent out Voyager 2 into space. He recorded a message saying that we are trying to get our civilization up to the point where we can meet with your civilization. He said that. And that was our message to the extraterrestrials that we sent out into the universe on Voyager. And that's the situation. The situation is we need to join the Galactic Federation. We need to become members of the Galactic Federation and stop this this baloney about us being all alone here, because we're not. We're not alone.
Yeah. In fact, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, I think it would be a great thing. So really, what the public, I feel like when you said, you know, like just hearing it from you, like there's going to have to be a massive landing. The public, do you feel that the mainstream people would be so terrified rather than looking at this as a great thing? Do you feel, well, with what you're writing to other people, I guess you are trying to prepare people, because it doesn't have to be such a negative experience.
No, not at all. No, of course not. No, it doesn't have to be. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, because the positives are far outweigh the negatives. There are no negatives, really. It's a matter of us joining the rest of the galactic community. We have been an orphan planet too long. That's the bottom line here.
I agree. I mean, I think it's I think this 2012, the way I've always viewed 2012 was as a new beginning. You know, the Mayan calendar, and we're not going to be going anywhere. And I think some people are going to be on board or not. But
I agree. No,
And so this was what maybe this is what the big thing is. What everybody, I mean, what the Mayans are all the Navajo, you know, all the people that have been talking for many. Past years, maybe this is it, because this is because really at any time they could have done a big landing. Any one of them, they have the technology, like you said, they can do it. They can travel around. They can do whatever they want. But they have been honoring, obviously, this agreement, or I don't know what they've been honoring, but
they have been going by the principle of non-interference. Apparently, there are rules in this universe that they have to follow, and one of them is non-interference. And we have our own destiny, we have our own karma, and we have to work out our own problems. But they're there if we want to call on them and if we need them. And I think that the time has come now when we've been kept repressed and suppressed for so long that they know they need to step in at this point. And that I think is what's going to happen. They need to help us out because the black groups who want to keep us under suppression and keep us enslaved to this particular system are not going to let up. They're not going to let up.
Yeah, and in fact, that's an interesting point you bring up, because they actually, what you're saying, that they have a moral code that they're going by, non-interference, which actually says a lot to me. It's what a positive experience it will be when it comes time, because they have been honoring that, so they're honorable. You did mention there's some have hidden agendas that maybe not be all that good, but
well, yes, I agree. I think so. Yeah.
But then I guess that's the way it would be with everything, I mean, in our world, because also we have people have had hidden agendas, obviously, that are no good here.
Exactly, yeah, it's the same. It's no different. And but the good guys far outnumber the bad guys. We just have to know how to deal with it and open ourselves to the wonders of a new life that waits for us once we really hook up with the rest of the galaxy.
Yes, and that's the point. And I think that, well, I'm ready for it. I'm ready.
Well, then, it would be nice not to have any disease anymore or any medical problems that we couldn't solve quickly, and to have free energy and to be able to teleport anywhere on the planet. I mean, think of what these things mean. Why should they be all under the military?
And right, and actually saving our planet. You know, really.
Saving it. Yeah.
It's a win-win completely as far as what we're all people talking about. We need to do this. Well, you know, they have the. That's so true. It breaks my heart when I think about how it's really sad, actually. And no more hunger, maybe. No more everything.
Exactly. Free energy, no more oil, anti-gravity. We can exceed the speed of light. We can send probes to distant star systems, just like on Star Trek, exactly like on Star Trek. That will be us before very long. So there will be Captain Kirk's, there will be Star Wars. It's all out there. It's all out there.
Well, count me in, because I'm ready. I'm ready for it. Well, you know, Lynn, I want to thank you so much for taking time out from the conference and going to the side there and talking, going off in the corner to talk to us. And I really have a great deal of respect for what you're doing and your writing and your very, you know, the credibility that you bring, I think is opening up a lot of people. So I really would like to thank you for being with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Have a great rest of the conference.
Did I give you my website? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm gonna I'm gonna tell people, but also you're on our guest page. I'll send you a link to that. You're gonna be on forever. But to visit Lynn's website, go to www.et-secrethistory.com, and his contact information is on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com as well. So, and I suggest you read this book. It's like I said, I just began reading it. It's outstanding.
Well, thank you very much. It's really been a pleasure being with you.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. And have a great conference, and I hope to see you when the big ship arrives. Really.
I'll be the first in line. I don't know about anybody else. I'll be first in line.
Yeah, thanks a lot. That's great.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye, Lynn.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, I haven't been in the chat room, but I am sure there's some people that are probably going haywire in there. I don't know, you guys. What's going on in there?
they're loving the subject.
They're loving it. Good. They're going crazy over it. Then it goes to gas prices, and it goes all over the map.
Yeah. It kind of spins out of control. But,
that's a sore spot.
Well, see, they wouldn't have to. That won't be going on if
that's right. Aliens need to give us a helping hand here. We have to be open to it.
Yeah, I really thought it was interesting how, you know, I kind of got, well, you know,
welcome
how you get that feeling,
you.
That chill, or the good way,
ID,
good way. How he talked about how the reason why they haven't intervened or come out is because they have a code of ethics.
Scheduled start time.
And I think that was admirable. I don't know. I'm ready.
Welcome
and, you know, and I,
you.
And I come
please
from, and I come
ID,
from,
followed by the pound key.
I come from, you know, out in the desert, he lives in Phoenix, out in the desert, New Mexico, there's been always a lot of talk about that, in Las Vegas, Nevada, which I'll get into when we start talking, but it seems like because that's the best way for everybody to kind of like hang out and you know, the space and everything. And actually, Brenda, I'm looking forward to hearing more about Egypt. But I Lynn's an interesting guy. So, you know, he's not about, oh, I've been abducted or anything else. I hope everybody understood that. It
Welcome
was about the information.
Please enter the call ID and, followed by the pound key.
So anyway, I don't know what you guys, count me in. I'm ready for it.
The call 15 minutes.
I think that'll be the way we say farewell to one another now is, so I'll see you when the big ship arrives.
I think yeah, that's a good one. That's
that was
good. That was a good one.
Enter the call ID.
<There you go>. Anyway. I'd like to take a few announcements. I hope Steve is still with us. Is he still here?
I am. I'm here.
There you are. Okay.
He hasn't been zapped up or anything.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you're okay.
Abducted.
They always take the English speaking. The one with
they take the Britishers first.
Yeah, they have good taste.
No, have you ever seen that? One of my favorite Twilight Zone movies was How to Serve Man.
You may access the call after 15
minutes before scheduled start time. See, I like a Cornfield one, Wishing Him in the Cornfield. That was my favorite.
With How to Serve Man. Oh, I've seen them all. But How to Serve Man was about
Please
a cookbook. and they came in and everybody starts getting on the ship. I forget who, some, you know, actor, I forgot who they were. And they're all lining up to go to this planet. What they don't know is How to Serve Man, meaning they're going to eat.
The cookbook of, yeah, yes. I remember that. It was
Welcome
a recipe.
Talk show.
Yeah,
they broke the code.
Everybody's willing and waiting. Just happy. Like when Lynn was talking about it, I was thinking about it. I mean, the Twilight Zone,
pin,
bless his heart, Rod Stewart had to
key.
Go on. But anyway, I don't want to tell people that that's what my point of view is, but yeah, just kind of being funny about it. But anyway, How to Serve Bobby.
You are now joining the call.
A la carte. Okay.
Salt
you are unmuted.
No salt intake.
Salt and lemon.
Anyway, a few announcements. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get a free on-air reading from our gifted psychics here. We will announce the call number later in the show, so be sure to have that pen or pencil and paper or your hand or something to write it on. And if you are unable to catch our last week's show on Starseed and Spiritual Vision, which, Bobby, was an excellent show, you will find a recorded archive link as well as other archives of previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. And it is our objective to reach as many people as we can, especially with this, I mean, in all our topics, but this is a great topic to reach as many people as we can because they're going to be here. That's all there's to it. So please, you know, share that link with others and your animals and your neighbors and your children's teachers, and they're really going to like
that.
And
your alien friends.
Be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation to the how-tos of spiritual development, psychic, everything. In fact, it's an excellent, excellent blog site. It's fantastic. I think it is. And the people there that write are the people at psychicaccess.com. So if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts, like predictive psychic, like Brenda. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around the world. It is is an honor. Also, Doug, it is. He can hear me. I know he's there. to work alongside him. His expectations are very high, and he also requires it of each of us. So it's a two-way street, and it's a mutually satisfying agreement, I feel. So all of the co-hosts here are on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com, work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us again at PsychicAccess.com. We would just love to hear from you. And also, webmasters, site owners, can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more information and details, visit http://, I hope I said that right, // psychicaccess.com/webmasters. You also will see that on our sites as well. If anybody's interested, it's a really great thing. So if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room because we have a lot going on there. I don't know what's going on there right now, but I'm sure you guys do. And join us to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. It's a lot of fun. People are great people in there. And every week we get some new people, so it's a lot of fun. And there's something for every human being or other person. So please spread the word. We'd much appreciate it. Okay, I'm getting ready to let you have the call-in number. I'm getting ready to announce the call-in number. I'm not going to let you have it. Okay, it's 724-444-4851. So what do you think about that? Did someone type that in? I'm going to have to go in the chat room and check it out. Okay, so quiet. Are you all there?
We're just waiting, man. Yeah. We don't want to impede on your show.
We don't want to.
Oh, yeah,
sure. We have our code. We don't want to.
Oh, yeah. You guys, no interference.
No interference.
You must interfere. It's acceptable. Steve, hello, Steve.
Hello.
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 What do you think of crop circles?
I think they're amazing. When I lived in the UK, I saw quite a few crop circles. I remember once I lived in Hampshire and I had to drive to East Sussex for a job interview. And so I took the country road. And in Wiltshire, I saw, wasn't Wiltshire, because that would be to the west. It was in, it would have been in East Hampshire, but I saw the most incredible crop circle, and I stopped the car just to look at it. And I was higher up, and you could see down into the valley, and I was just blown away by the intricacy of it, the beauty of it, and also the energy. I mean, you could feel that the energy was different. And the thing that really struck me on that occasion and at other times when I've looked at images of crop circles, the thing that struck me was that they're not just random designs. They're deeply intricate, deeply symbolic messages. And the more you look at crop circles, the more sacred geometry you see. And so I believe absolutely that aliens use crop circles to not only show us that they're present, but to give us information. And I believe that they present a lot of solutions, even scientific solutions, to us through the messages that they're leaving. I remember reading as well that many of these crop circles, it's been proven that they aren't created by machinery. I can't remember something about the structure. I can't remember the exact information, but if you look online, there's a lot of information about the fact that these crop circles are not created by humans or by machinery, because the structure still remains intact. Somehow the structure of the straw is still intact, something like that. But I had a very interesting experience recently, because I was talking with my business partner at the Healing Center I co-own in Knoxville, and we were talking about the logo. And I asked a little more about the logo, because it was created before I bought half of the business. And I was just looking up crop circles that very evening and found a crop circle in the UK near where I'd lived. And it's exactly the same as the logo for the Healing Center. And it just led me to realize that, again, that we're surrounded by synchronicity. And really, you know, we work with spirits psychically, mediumistically, in some people could say we're working with extraterrestrials, because we're working with beings, with intelligent life forms that are not necessarily or here in physical form. So for me, it's part of the big picture of this organism that we belong to, this universe, and the different elements of that organism, many of which we're not all conscious of.
Yeah, you know, Steve, you bring up a good point. In fact, the synchronicity stuff, that is a no-brainer. I mean, that we've talked about that before. That's I mean, that doesn't surprise me, but it is interesting, isn't it, how that works out. But, you know, you bring up a good point about in Lynn's book, and like I said, this book is not like just a book on one subject. Because he writes and talk to people, so there's some really interesting, intense stories in there. But talking about being conscious and collectively, and you know, everybody knows how I feel about the union. It's a no-brainer. You know, I always talk about Carl Jung and the collective unconsciousness. Collectively, we are collectively connected, and we've just kind of, you know, gone. We have a psychic inheritance. We're born like that, and we just seem to forget. We get into these wars, or we, you know, I'm not political, but I don't want to go there. But I think that the crop circles. You brought up a point about how their messages, maybe. But do you think maybe they're also not for us, but messages for their own kind? Maybe?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I don't believe that it's all about us, but I believe, you know, you suggested, Ben, Maureen, a conversation that I had in my mind with you before the show, and we were talking about the human condition. And I really liked the fact that your guest was alluding to the importance of us actually identifying some solutions to the big problems we have in the world. And you made a point, I can't quite remember exactly what your words were, but that triggered my thought again, that we do need solutions. You know, we talk, for example, about the economy in the States and the global economy, and yeah, we're talking, let's be honest, when we have that discussion, we're talking about countries that actually have a significant economy or have wealth to be managed, and we're thinking of, well, how do we fix that, etc. But we forget in those discussions that there's a much bigger picture of this organism. So it's great to fix the Western economy, but there are children dying in Africa.
Exactly.
Still.
Yes.
And there are incredible injustices in this world. And I feel increasingly that if we are one organism, if we are one thing, then we have to address the whole. Otherwise, it would be like fixing the economy and without really addressing the whole shebang would be like saying, oh, you know, my body's in good condition. I've just got a gangrenous left foot, and therefore I'll be okay.
Right.
Because we've got to start looking at the whole. And I do feel, actually, that we will have significant contact with extraterrestrials in the next 10 years, mm-hmm. in my view, publicly. And I think we need it, because I think that we need solutions. I remember there's a very good story about a military example of a nuclear facility shut down, or the nuclear weapons shutting down, the system just shutting down. And it happened at the same time as a UFO sighting at that installation. And I believe that one of the reasons aliens are, or extraterrestrials are, expressing an interest is because they know that we're playing with fire, and they know that we're part of one organism. So if, for example, there was a nuclear disaster here, it would have a knock-on effect throughout the universe. Just as, karmically, if I project good energy to the world, there's a good effect, and if I project bad energy, there's a bad manifestation. They understand that we're one organism, that we're one whole system, and that, and in ways, we're playing with fire.
Absolutely, you know, Steve. That's an. You said, "What's that going on?"
Oh, that's my Oddwaller bar. Sorry.
It's okay.
You have to understand. We have this running joke because Steve does the simplest of things, and yet it sounds like an entire house crashing down. And we say, "What the heck was that?" He's like, "Oh, nothing. I was opening up my candy bar, or I was licking a stamp, right? I was putting a stamp on an envelope or something." And
yeah.
It sounds so noisy.
I'd like to know.
The parents always said I was horribly noisy.
You're funny. You know, maybe Steve. Maybe Steve, you're the key. Maybe. Steve, I really appreciate your discussing what you did and going a little further.
I appreciate that.
No, I do.
A blueberry swirl, Oddwaller Ball, very highly recommended.
And now, and so you're going to share what your yum. Well, Steve hasn't been feeling well, and that took a lot out of him just to talk. But Steve, you enjoy that. Brenda, have you ever seen a UFO? And if so, well, I know you probably have. But if so, how did it look?
I saw one, and I was probably about. I would have to say I was either 16 or 17 because I was still in high school, and it was, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Mount Palomar, where they have the observatory. Well, I was going to high school in Escondido at the time, and we were just driving around, and we're up by Mount Palomar, and it looked like, you know, like in the movie where they show that the ship comes down and there's all those lights and it's kind of hovering above you. Mm-hmm. It was something very similar to that. It was like a big like disc, but there was lots of lights and they were kind of rotating, and we started to follow it. And it was moving and we were following it. We followed it for a while. And then it just kind of like disappeared into the sky as fast as it could go, but it was amazing. And the light that came out of it just kind of like it shone its light down on us and it illuminated everything. It was amazing.
You know, they've had sightings, you know, because I know the area you're talking about, because I live in San Diego and I first moved.
They have sightings up in that area.
Yes, they do. They certainly do. And
for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think in Lynn's book, he talks about, the Mount Palomar area too, as well. So that doesn't surprise me. You know, in fact, I was talking about the desert, and well, you know, I lived for instance, Mount Palomar. That's an area. I lived in San Marcos, which is, you know, right next door to. But I lived in an area where it was like up in the mountain, like, you know, it was this gated area, whatever you go, and it was like there were coyotes. It was interesting because it was like there's Escondido over on that side, but. That area, and you get off into the area of Lawrence Welk, you know, over in that area. It's pretty opened up for.
It feels like it's almost like there's an energy of that there, and a lot of the kids would talk about, oh, we've seen one, so we went actually looking for it, you know, and it was just like on the weekends, late at night, you're messing around, you know, and then we saw this thing, and it was like it covered a huge space, and it was above us, and it was circular, like a saucer almost, and it had all these different lights that kind of rotated round and round and round, and it was really awesome.
It's like it's so much beauty in the lights. In fact,
it was incredible.
In fact, I when I lived in Las Vegas, well, I was born in Las Vegas, Nevada. I always love saying that because it's true. And in 1962, there was. Which I found out years later, but when I was younger, you know how you remember things more so when you're two or three? I remember so clearly at that age more so than some of the other years, but I remember I was in my brother's room. They were gone. There were four kids at the time before the other two were born. But anyway, I was spending the night in their room because I thought I was a big girl. I was probably 2.5 years old. But this light, and there were the windows that were cranked open windows. And there was this no screen, and this light, this incredibly gorgeous, I mean, blue, ester, I mean, it was like blue, green. It was so beautiful. This little bit of light came in. Now, as I can remember, it was like bouncing around. Now, it could have just been something that was reflecting from something that was going on out there. But years later, I come to find out, and I thought it was my brothers playing a joke on me, but they weren't there. They were spending the night. They're friends. And I was amazed. I remember looking at it. Now, I don't know. Maybe I was abducted. Who knows? Who would have known? You know, I wouldn't have been missed. But the thing of it was, is years later, I found out there actually was in Clark County, Las Vegas, Nevada, the sheriff's in 1962, April 12th, I think it was, that they actually were – they had some big old thing going on that actually was that came out from New York. They even cited it came into and it landed. They said so. It's incredible, and I remember that myself. That's the only thing I can.
You'll
remember.
You'll never forget it if you see it. You'll never forget it, and it's like you're always looking to, you know, see it again and again, and it's amazing.
And I'm looking, and I like to dance when there's lights blinking, and stuff.
Like a disco. It was like disco. It was like disco lights.
And I was like a disco queen. Anyway, Bobby, Thanks, Brenda.
I am a disco queen. I have mentioned that I'm a professional singer, and one of my favorite times is when I'm up the street. That's right. And I have this where I go to sing. There's a bunch of elderly folks and such, and once in a while there's this boy that comes in to see his grandma. He's mentally disabled. He loves the song Dancing Queen, and yes, that's right, I sing it, and he's up there with me, and we are just going to town. Put that in your head.
I want to put that out in public. I mean,
if that's not alien, I don't know what it's.
That's got to be an alien pass through, where they call. What do they call that when they go through you? Or
right.
Pass through or something.
A walk in.
Yes.
So is that what? So tell me, Bobby, who are you? No, what's your thoughts about this whole program? This show.
I love it. It's so overwhelming and wonderfully getting into it is just so wonderfully numbing because I'm so overwhelmed. I get these moments where I look at the UFO latest pictures and videos and things like that on YouTube, and I'll go through these times when there's just a couple of days that's all I do, just watch video after video. And then the whole alien things, when you're seeing them on Discovery Channel and History Channel, and there's certain parts, I don't know if this does this for you guys, but when I'm watching history channels and documentaries, I can tell which parts are real and which parts are, you know, that they don't have their facts straight on that. And aliens is about the one of them that just leaves me. There's such a depth of knowingness when that comes on that it's just so absolutely amazing. And yet I've never seen a UFO. I've never had an experience like that and want one, you know, so desperately just to see something, you know. But the whole alien bit really got to me. Probably the biggest change I've had. I've always been interested in UFOs, but when I started reading about the Billy Meyer case and going into all of the talks he's had, you know, of not abductions, but how the visits that he's had, and I even became in touch and friends with the American spokesperson for him, because Billy Meyer lives over in Switzerland, and he and I had lunch on several occasions. I actually had a paradigm shift with what it is that I do, the psychicness and the mediumship, all from that. And so it's greatly affected me all my life. And there's just been this truth and knowingness and belief without having seen that is astounding and is so deep inside of me. And yet, like I say, the one final piece, I've not seen one. So,
well, you know, maybe who knows if you have or have. I mean, really, a lot of us may not know if we have seen actually one walking around. I mean, not the UFO up in the air. I'm not talking about the lights.
Yeah,
actual
aliens. Right. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that. And, you know, I can't even describe it, but I know that you all know that feeling that even just now as we're talking about it is just, oh my God, it's so amazing. And I'm with you. I would be the first in line, you know, to take that journey, because it's so much bigger than anything we have going on here. It's just amazing. Can't wait.
And our kids, and you have small children, and actually it would be to the best interest of our children to have this stuff available.
Yeah, and I know we have to get on to readings, but I've been so looking forward to Sylvia Brown predicted that in 2010 that the aliens would finally show themselves, and I had read that like in 2001. I waited 9 freaking years and nothing happened. I'm so disappointed.
I waited
so much. I waited so long for that because she had predicted that out, and then I'm like, nothing.
Ugh. Well, you don't know what can happen this weekend. One might present themselves to you, Bobby.
I certainly hope so. Sorry, I know we got to move on. Sorry.
Well, no, don't be sorry. Yeah. Be happy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The call-in number. Could someone type this in while I'm talking? I'm saying it. The number to call in for a reading, live reading from one of us lovely psychics here is 724-444-4851. And I agree, Steve. And anyway, we would like to start taking calls. I feel I can feel it. I think that's so. I'm trying to keep up with the program here. And Bobby, you have a first call. Yep. New York.
Hi, what planet are you from? New York is actually its own separate planet, isn't it? Technically, I've been there. Who's this from New York?
Hello? Oh, it's my name is Holly, Justice 44.
Holly, oh my gosh. See, that's there's no such thing as coincidence, is there?
So that's me. My question would be, I've actually gone to the site and talked to one person a while back. If I'm still looking for work, I'm looking for about 3 months. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything I'm doing wrong or been very active in visualization and
I haven't seen the land yet, or
maybe it's still in the works or what?
Okay. So I know that we talked a little bit in the chat room. So I know that, like you were talking about the whole work issue for you and then some of the other things that we had talked about as well. And mm-hmm. it's very funny how I kind of recommended that you talk to Steve, didn't I? And then you and I end up talking, and I just think that's very funny. But
yeah, that is weird.
I should recommend people to Steve more often. So I think the thing is that you actually have in the past 2 or 3 months, I think that you have slowed things down just a bit only because of that thinking mind that we talked about. You've kind of stopped the forward momentum a bit and just have kind of stopped. And it's been contemplative, which is good, but it's just been kind of spinning right there, almost distracted, it feels like. You know how a child – and I find the more and more that I raise my own children, how much, scarily so, that all of us are really like her. You know what I mean? Like these kids. And sometimes we become so distracted. We're headed off in a particular direction, and then all of a sudden she's just stopped, and she gets distracted by something else, and she just stays there for a minute, you know? And I have to remind her where she was headed. So I think more effort towards – I mean, have you even thought about what it is that you would like to do for a job?
Yeah, actually, I would like to do something. There's two jobs that I'm looking for. Something that's going to fit with school.
Okay.
I've been applying for like habilitator and teacher assistants, and then I have a background that I can fall onto, and that would be sales because I've got 8 years of experience.
So, and see, it almost feels like you'd be settling for sales. Like you don't really want to be in there. Once you got in there, you'd always be trying to get out, you know?
Right. I'm in college, so I'm trying to find a job just to get me through school.
Right.
That would be my backup plan if I couldn't get a job into some type of more of a human services job is really the ideal.
Right. But that your vibration on that is not completely believing that you can get into that. You know what I mean? Or like that you have enough qualifying factors that your credentials maybe aren't enough to get there. So you've put yourself in this in-between limbo type place. So I think that if you start focusing on either how you can combine the two, it really all is just vibration. So the psychic answer is what you need to do is just get your vibrations going again, and then, yes, you're not going to have any problem getting a job because you are very upfront, you're very confident, you're good at selling yourself when you're going to an interview. So all of that's brilliant. Now we just have to get you lined up with all of that. You see what I mean? So once you start lining up with what kind of a job is it that I can do that I'm not settling just for sales, but I'm also working with human resources and kind of doing that, that's a part of that, do you see? And then I feel once you get all of that together, again, it's only going to take a couple of weeks. Did you say you already have a couple of applications? Because I feel that one is still interested in you. Did you say you had applications out already?
I probably put about 30 out.
Let's see, 3 out. Let me see. It's not the last one. The one in between. So the second one that you applied for.
I put maybe 30. Well, maybe more like 25. Because I've been applying rigidly two jobs a week for the past 3 months. So,
what was the three that you were just talking about?
That what?
You just said something about you had 3 out there, or?
No, I said 30, but really, I actually added up. It's probably about, let's see.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought in the very first you said you had probably 3 in the past 3 weeks.
No, in the past couple of weeks, I've put out 3 this week, and I've put out.
Okay. So stop right there. Okay, stop right there. So the three that you've put out this week, the second one that you applied for, that would be one that I'm feeling that you should contact again or just follow up with. You know what I mean? I'm getting a stronger hit on that, and I don't even know what you applied for, but that's just what I'm feeling. Okay. The other ones were just kind of throwing it out there to see if you'd get a bite, but it's the ones this week that I feel are more pertinent to you. And whatever that second one is, that's the one I would pay more attention to and vibrate with. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I put out one Sutherland. I think it was Sutherland Global Services was one of them. I think that might have been the second one.
Is that the second one? Okay. Okay. So that would be worth – so just think about that for a moment. You know what I mean? And then after we hang up here. And then follow up that vibration and realize that that's something that you could do that you'd be comfortable with. You just need one of those types of – that carry both vibrations for you right now just to get you through until you get through school. Do you see what I mean? So that's what I recommend that you do. But you're just so much in your head right now, you know, and that's something that you and I had talked about as well. So just come out of that head, and I don't think it's going to be any problem for you. Follow up on this second one that we're talking about, and it's not going to be long at all. And you'll be in a job, and then you'll be comfortable, and then you can go back to thinking again if you want to.
Okay, so just visualize and focus on...
No, don't even visualize. All you need to do, you're already focused on it. You've already focused on the fact that you want a job, because I like the way it feels when you're talking about wanting a job and the type of job that you need to get through school stuff. So you're really in line with that. There's nothing that you have to... Don't do any extra work of visualizing and all that kind of thing. Okay? Just do some follow-up on that second job. You've already got the vibration that you need for that second job. And then if you... Mm-hmm. And, do you see what I mean? Because your thinking is scattered between all these other things that you've applied for. I mean, 30 to 50 job applications is quite a bit. Just focus down. Let's focus it down onto these three that you had this week. And then in particular, that second one, you've already got the right vibration for that. Don't do any extra work of visualizing and thinking and trying to create. You've already created it. It's already run. The work is already done.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. Thanks. It was great to talk to you. I'm glad you called in.
Absolutely. And I'll probably maybe call you or get you on chat and let you know what happens the next
Yeah, come in. Yeah, come into the free chat room. Absolutely. And let me know. I gotta know now. All right.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks, Bobby. You're fantastic. Just so fun. Brenda, you have a call from New York City.
New York City. Hey, what can I do for you this evening?
Hi. I just started working as a tutor in a local community college. And in the past, I haven't had a lot of success with jobs. So I just want to make sure, like, what do I have to do to make sure this job is a success? Is there something I'm not doing?
Let's take a peek here. You know, this job has come to you for a reason. It's going to bring balance in your life. And, you know, as you get into it, when do you start? Have you already started?
Yes, I've already started.
As you get deeper into this job, you're going to see that, first of all, you really like it, and that's what's going to keep you motivated. And you're also going to see an awful lot of hidden possibilities with the tutoring situation. And I feel that they're going to like your work. You're going to get, I see a man giving you some compliments on your work. It feels like it's by the end of next month. You know, it really looks positive. I feel that you just need to stay focused. And yet the key to you is liking your work, because you're a creative personality. So you have to do something. And now creative doesn't necessarily mean artistic. A creative personality means that you have to be stimulated by, you know, not just doing just the numbers and book works. There's got to be other things added into it that keep you interested. And so I believe this could work into something that you really love. And it feels like it's come to you in a different type of way. Were you looking for this?
Yes, I was, actually.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that I'm not doing right now to keep to hold on to this job. I'm doing everything right.
You are. It feels like they like you, number one, and it feels like you're kind of, sometimes you're in the swim, do you know what I mean, in the path of least resistance, and I'm really seeing Wheel of Fortune is on you, which means that this is where you should be right now. It may not be the absolute end, what you end up doing, but for right now and for quite a while into the future, it feels like it's going to be something that's quite fulfilling for you. It's about, you know, just really focusing on the job and staying positive. I feel that it's, you're helping people, and that's the most important thing. And that's where you shine. Looks like you have the capacity inside of you to really help people individually. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, honey.
There's like, there's nothing I should be, like, focusing on in terms of the specifics of the job, like, more carefully or doing, the way I'm handling it right now.
It looks like it is. You need to follow, you have to have confidence and follow your heart on this. You're going to receive a compliment by somebody, and then you're going to know, yes, I am on the right track.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Brenda. And Steve, Steve from Indiana. There you have it.
Hi, Indiana. Who's calling? Who's calling from Indiana?
Steve?
Yes? What's your name?
Magdalene.
Sorry, your name is?
Magdalene.
Magdalene. How are you, Magdalene?
I'm good.
Good. Well, how can we help?
My life's kind of upside down, but do you see me getting a job in Cincinnati anytime soon?
Job in Cincinnati anytime soon. I do feel you getting a job there. I feels like 6 weeks, Magdalene. I'm giving the numbers 5 and 6 actually, but I'm not drawn to you actually being offered a job in 5 weeks. It feels as though you really release something in the 5th week, but then in the 6th week you do receive a job offer. I do feel with you a strong connection to Cincinnati. I'm not getting the feeling as I tune into you that you're in the wrong place or that you're looking in the wrong place. It does feel to me that energetically that's where you want to be for now. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Do you want to stay in Cincinnati, Magdalene?
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, Steve. And
was that a yes then? When he asked
that was easy going. That was lovely. I guess she'll know that. She knows that. Well, you know. Oh, Tennessee, Maureen. Here I am. Hi, Tennessee. My name's Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, who's this?
This is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And what can I... I'm going to say this, I never would do you for. I never say that for some reason it came out. What can I help you with?
Okay, I am sensing a crazy, like a feeling around me. It just feels like, you know, it literally feels like someone's around me all the time, and I'm just curious if there is or...
Okay.
I mean, it's been happening for a while now.
Okay.
It's making me paranoid.
I can relate to, well, I can identify with many years, a long time ago, something went on like that, and I found out it was just me. But I'm wondering, is it just happening? Okay, I'm seeing something around. Okay, there's an uncomfortable feeling around a home situation or there's somebody around you. Do you have any company or someone staying with you or something of that nature?
Well, I live in an apartment complex, so mm-hmm. I actually have like people around me living underneath me and living behind me and beside me. So,
okay, is there an outside? Is there an outside area where you can spend time? Because it's like it looks like outside area where there would be, like you know, flowers, something of outside. That yeah, I know. He says apartment club. Is there like an area where people have gardening or flowers or anything like that?
There is a little patch of grass right next to me. It's actually right outside my window, and there's like a picnic table, and people can grow their own like food outside their porch and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so I guess what I'm getting at is when this is happening to you, you said, is this happening all the time when you're outside of your...
It's happening when I'm at my apartment. I can go to my mom's and don't feel a thing, but once I come up here and... It just feels like something's constantly following me in my apartment.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I don't feel it's you or, and I get what you're saying, and I'm not saying I believe in anything like ever. Like I tell people, all I know is what I know. So I get what you're saying, and because a lot of times some things, and I would trust your, I trust your intuition on this, and it does feel like it's a male energy of some sort that has. Lost his way, but there's something about the outside coming from the out down. It's interesting. I love how you talked about actually some people grow their own stuff. I think that's wonderful because a lot of apartment buildings don't have that going on, as far as I know. I don't know, but I just think that there's something about you know. If it looks like there is like a male energy that has been what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a demonic or like evil situation, but in some ways, as far as a woman looking at it, he is a womanizing type of person. And I just get that. I don't know. I think you're picking up on something. Maybe it's not that you're thinking that maybe you're connecting with this rather than this person is, you know, tormenting you. So wise. I think it's just unexplained things. Is this, does it feel like it's a male energy? Or does it feel like you don't know what kind of energy? Because, like I said, I'm getting there's some energy of a man, a young man, who lost his way and it was a very sensitive spiritual person that would lost his way, and I don't feel that he's around anymore in our world. You know, he's gone to the other side, and I feel that almost like he lost his chance to stay in the goodness of himself, and he just took a turn for the worse as far as. Being a womanizer and a verbal abuser instead of being the loving, gentle man he was at one time. I just get a feeling that you're might be someone that just has this ability to pick up on this stuff. You haven't seen anything, have you? You just feel.
Well, I do. I feel intensely. I feel it intensely. And I do see like shadows in the corner, like in my right eye.
Right.
It's only my right eye. It's only my right eye, and I don't see, it's just, like, kind of moving fast, you know? Like, I can't spot it, like, oh, I just seen something. But I can almost guarantee that I probably just seen something.
So how long has this been happening? Has it just been happening for the past 4 or 5 months, something, or just?
Yeah, it's actually been happening just for about, for almost 6 months now.
Okay. You know, I get that you're picking up on something. I don't even feel this energy person. I'm going to say person, although the person's not here, is even aware that they're tormenting me. They're aware of. I don't feel that their goal. This the energy of this person has passed on. Is the goal is not to disrupt you or disturb you. I feel that you're just getting real sensitive to some things, and I would not be surprised if this will carry on later. And I know I'm not saying that you wanted it to happen. I think you're sensitive.
I'm just trying to figure it out, you know.
You know, what I feel is this, and you could go crazy, but I'm going to encourage you about something or suggest something because of what I'm identifying with what you're going through, because I had gone through something tormentingly later. It became a torment, but it doesn't have to be for you. I feel that maybe you're opening up in a way that you're getting more in touch with your, and I'm not going to say a gift because it could be very tormenting, but you're opening up maybe to something that you are, like a lot of people are able to tune into that. And it's not that you've read a book on how to do it either. I think it's part of who you are. And okay. I feel that there's going to be more to come. Now, the interesting part is I don't feel that there's any need for – I don't feel it's a need to feel – there's no – I don't get a fearing of this – but I don't feel that this person – or this what used to be a physical person in our world has any idea that you – it's not like trying to follow you or anything. I think you're just opened. You're opened. You've opened a window. Not a bad window, but it's open. And I would just kind of – get some faith, grasp hold of your faith and embrace it and be okay. As long as, you know, I think it's just scary because you just don't, it's an unknown feeling. But I think this is the beginning of more.
It's not that I'm fearful. I'm not fearful of it. It's just I'm curious, you know?
No,
like,
I think.
I'm just wondering why I'm feeling like I'm feeling.
No, I think that you are, this is real what you're feeling. And I also get that. I think this is the beginning of a very interesting opportunity to be able to open up to other things going on that most people don't get to experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I say it's a good thing. I feel by the springtime, it's going to feel a lot. There's a whole new beginning about your spiritual openness and about what's going to happen. I think it's a good thing. You're in for a good ride. Actually,
cool. Thank you.
No, really, you are, and I think that you need to just your perception needs to get a little bit perceive this as a good positive. That's what I guess I'm trying to say is you're opening up to a whole new thing, and I think it's going to be fantastic. This might be your thing later on. Who knows? It'll help other people too. So I hope I helped you, Elizabeth. But I think it's good. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and have a great night. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, and now we have Bobby, California.
Totally. Totally with it. Hi, California, who are you? Are you there?
Hi, yes.
Hi, how are you? Who's this?
It's Marcy.
Hi, Marcy. What would you like to talk about?
I guess my husband was unfaithful a couple years ago, and when my daughter was 2 months old, I found out that he had seen the woman again.
Okay.
He says that he did not do anything, but, I mean, it's been about a year now, and I just want to know if he's going to continue to try to see her or if, you know, or if he's done fooling around, you know, if I can finally trust him.
Wow. I can't speak for my other co-hosts, but it's these types of questions that are always very, very difficult or can be. And it's you know, you always have to be careful with what you ask for. And because the answers, you know, that you receive from something like that. And then it's a matter of knowing what you also feel inside of yourself. You're asking me. But I also know that you can feel things inside of you of what you believe to be true. And you're hoping maybe I'll say something a bit different, you know. So that's we often don't trust ourselves enough. And so we seek somebody who you know, is a little bit more clear on those types of answers because we're all wrapped around our own emotions, especially when it comes to something like this. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so it makes it very, very difficult. And then you have to come to a place where you listen to your own intuitive knowingness. And the thing is whether he is still doing this or not isn't necessarily the point any longer. It's about you and your comfortability and not being able to trust that any longer. Now you all of a sudden you've clinged more to your daughter, you've clinged more to the things it is that you do have security with. And that's definitely no way to live. Even if I told you no, he wasn't, I think that you still wouldn't be satisfied with that answer. You see, because I think that after we hung up, you might listen to me because you trust, obviously, enough. That's why you're calling into the show. But then I think that your own worriedness or that slight intuition that you have about what's happening and taking place would still come up to the surface and you wouldn't be able to get past that. So it really becomes a matter of self-preservation and something it is that you feel that you need to do. You need to start taking care of you. You need to start being more selfish for you. And I think that you need to be more selfish for your daughter and start going from that position. Because again, whether he is or isn't really the case anymore. It's a matter of what it is that is going to get you to a place of feeling better, either about the relationship or not. You see what I mean? Is all that making sense? I know you just want a psychic answer. But yeah. Is the other parts of what I'm saying making sense to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's where I believe that you need to look first. Because, again, it really isn't the issue of if he is or if he isn't. You've been hurt, and it's the hurt. And I'm not even saying that you need to forgive. I think that it's the hurt and pain that it is that you're going through that this happened and all the possibilities of all the things that could happen in your life and would have happened and now where's my life going? And that's all of that that's really troubling you. And that's where I would focus in and zero in on, okay, for you. My job is to take care of you, not him. And it's not going to make you feel any better whether I give you an answer to that or not. Again, your intuition, your knowingness, it's what you feel inside. You could probably talk to, and I don't know who that is, the greatest psychic in the world, somebody who you absolutely trust. And I think that it still would rub against the grain. I think if they told you no, it still wouldn't settle inside of you. There's something bigger going on than just that. And the thing is that you're learning more about yourself and how to take care of yourself. It's about you standing up for yourself and finding a voice. That's what all of this has done for you. Do you see? Because you haven't said anything before. You know, you haven't said a lot about yourself. You just kind of go along with it. This is the way it's going to be. And you're like, okay. And it's no longer acceptable that in everything, not just this one topic that we're talking about. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's tough. I know it's very difficult on you. But I feel that is the best way to answer your question. Because again, this is about you. It's not about him. So I would really look towards the things it is that you're being prompted to do about your thinking about what he's doing, if that makes sense. In other words, prompted to take care of yourself, prompted to stand up for yourself, prompted to say, this is no longer acceptable. I don't care if you aren't anymore. Anyway, this is what matters to me. That's what the lesson is here. That's what you need to do. And I'm feeling very strongly about you starting to stand up because your dynamic energy that's kind of covered that light with other things and other people that are around you. And it's time to stop that now. Okay?
Okay.
I know it's tough. I'm really glad that you called in, though. And when you come into the website, if I'm in the chat room, please stop in and talk to me, okay?
Okay, well.
Right, okay.
Thanks so
Take
much.
Care, sweets. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Very caring, Bobby. Thank you. And Brenda, you have a call from Montreal, Canada.
Hello, Montreal. How's everything there?
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself? How's it going?
I'm up and down, up and down.
Okay, honey. What do you need?
Well, basically, for the whole 20 years of my life, it has been like severely... I've had like severe bad luck. So I wanted to know if you can see why that is and if you see any way to help turn that around and get rid of it.
What type of bad luck do you think you're having?
I can't even get into it in the short amount of time. Like it's a
Well, let's see.
Curse. I'm so convinced that I'm cursed. Like this is not normal. Yeah.
Let's take a peek here.
Okay.
Well, you know, I believe in life that things, you know, we go through cycles. We have a whole bunch of negative stuff happens and then it turns around and it comes back and it's positive. You know, it never really stays that way. And a lot of times, you know, I feel that you were in possession of your own luck in many ways because we have things happen to us and we have to kind of change it and turn it to our advantage because they really, you know, there's a reason for everything that's happening in our life. And a lot of these things that happen and they appear to be really negative, they're really just things, you know, it could be a lesson that gets us moving and pushes us. I see some financial things around you that you feel are blocked, especially around the home. I feel this is a cycle. I feel there's going to be some new information that brings you out of this, another opportunity. I see some rebirth and an ending of a particular psychic of what you would a particular cycle of what you consider bad luck, which I don't see it's that. I just feel that the more we start thinking that it is, the more we create it as that. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
I do not feel that you have like a juju on you or anything. It's just, you know, everybody comes into this world with different lessons that they have to go through. And I see for you in the future is a breakthrough here. And it's really interesting. If you wake up in the morning and you start thinking, you know what, I'm just only going to think of positive stuff that's going to happen to me. I'm going to focus on all this stuff. Our mind is the most powerful thing that we possess. And I believe that you're going to be able to turn things on your own. That's why the very first card that I saw here was the Priestess card, which means that you are in possession of a way to turn this around. I do see that.
Well, what do I need to do then?
You're not doomed, honey. You're not.
I feel like I am. I really do. Like, I'm at my last jaw right now. I've just had it.
Well, you have to look at the different areas in your life and what it's telling you on these events that are happening. And, you know, look into it and see, okay, maybe this is the worst case scenario, but what could be the most positive thing that could come out of this? Do you see what I mean? And I feel that you're going to be handed on two different levels, the area of love and in the area of finance, some different options. If the area of love, you know, it feels like you're pushing something away and you're very hurt there. And you know what? Maybe you don't have to accept it the way it was. Maybe you need better in your life. Maybe you deserve better in your life. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel that. I mean, you don't have to accept it, right?
So when do you see my finances picking up?
You know, that was right in the center of your reading, which means that there's some new information that comes your way. And I'm seeing it like in about 30 days. That presents an opening, like a new job opportunity. Have you been looking for a new job?
Not anymore, because I've had like really bad luck with jobs as well.
Okay, well, I'm feeling that cycle is turning, and it's time for renewal. And the very first thing that came up was finances. So there is a good job opportunity out there. You just have to go forward again and start. You know, sending out those resumes, talking to people, looking online, and you will be amazed at what comes your way in the next 30 days. It's time.
Okay.
It's transformational time. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm kind of giving you the psychic boot in the butt, okay? You've got so much going on for you. You're just in a slump, and it happens to all of us. And I don't feel that this is going to last. It's ready to transform right in the immediate future. Yeah.
Okay, so it's all going to go away soon, or like?
I feel that you're going to work through the financial thing first. The love thing is something you go back and forth with, and that you'll deal with later on in the summer. But it looks like I see that will change as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In 30 days, approximately.
You know, within 30 days, if you start putting those resumes and all that stuff out there, start putting it out there, I deserve a great job that'll support me and take care of my needs. You'll be surprised on what you find. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Alrighty.
Thank you so much, Brenda.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Brenda. Great job. Steve, Alaska, for you.
Hello, Alaska.
Hello?
Hi. Who's calling from Alaska?
Hi, my name is Delia Fortune, and I'm calling from Alaska. I was calling because I have I guess I'm a ghost magnet, so to speak. I keep hearing loud noises in both my ears, and it won't stop. And when I try to drown it out, the ghosts keep talking to me. I've inherited a lot of different gifts, and they're attacking me all at once. And I attract people that harm me. And I try to treat people good at work or wherever I'm at, and No matter how good I treat people, they'll believe one lie and turn against me like I'm the most evilest thing in the world and I haven't done anything to them. I don't know why all of this is happening to me.
Okay. My guides are asking about your relationship with your mother and your childhood with your mother. How was your childhood with your mother?
Everything was fine. The usual punishment, do chores with my other sisters and brothers. I have an aunt that was a Filipino faith healer in the Philippines, and she died, but she's around me and my daddy. But it's just that these ghosts, wherever I go, they're there, and I have some in my house that I want them to go away. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a gatekeeper or a guider of lost souls or what.
Well, you certainly shouldn't have to put up with disturbance. I know that this occurs. I had issues when I was a child. And really, it's about, in my mind, it's about asserting yourself and taking control of your environment, your experience. So just as you would not choose to tolerate a friend in your home who's not being respectful of you, you don't have to tolerate negativity around you spiritually. How assertive would you say you are in life generally?
You mean as far as what I can do?
Well, how assertive are you in enforcing boundaries with other people in your life? How well do you stand up for yourself?
I don't have any company or anything like that, and I help people, but when I get home, that's supposed to be my private time. And
okay, but that's not my question. The question for you is, how assertive are you in laying down boundaries in life, and just generally in relationships in life? So you say you're very good to people, but how good are you at laying down boundaries and asserting yourself and your independence?
I'm pretty good with, you know, living people, and sometimes with the dead I have to yell at them because I've been taking different advice from people, but it's not working.
Okay. Well, these are some things I want you to try. And I know that these strategies work. And I want you to really absorb these ideas and work with them. The first is, I want you to reflect, as and when you feel comfortable, I want you to reflect upon how assertive you are being in life generally. So I want you to look at relationships, and that can be relationships with people at work, it can be family, friends. How well do you establish boundaries and make sure that people really respect you and respect your energy? I want you to think about that and work on strengthening the boundaries you have in place with other people in your life. Now, the other thing is, you need to make your home a much happier, much more uplifting environment. You need to, when you can, buy fresh flowers. They improve the energy in your home. Play classical music. I have classical music playing nearly all of the time in my home because it's uplifting and it raises the vibration of my home. The other thing is, you should make sure your home is really orderly, make sure everything's really tidy, really clean, and that you're constantly managing the environment as an environment that you really feel uplifted by, that you're happy to be in. You need plants, living things, again, raise the vibration. A pet can raise the vibration, having a cat or, you know, a living animal that you nurture will raise the vibration in your home as well. And then other things like smudging, you know, buying some sage or even burning some nice incense. All of these things will raise the vibration in your home and build protection. But the main one is for you to really be sure that in your life you are respecting yourself by having clear and healthy boundaries in place with other people. And you'll find that if you do these things, you will feel a much calmer environment in your home. Okay?
Yeah. When I was on the radio, like I am now, I could hear everybody's conversation well, but I can't hardly hear you, what you're telling me. I'm getting bits and pieces of it. But
okay.
My job, I lost my job a week and a half ago. The girl is there is no good and lie and steal and threaten me. And I'm trying to get her violated to go back to jail because I had no reason to lose my job. I'm a good worker, and I need my job. I need a job.
Okay. Well, firstly, in terms of listening, you can listen to the archives, so you'll hear very clearly the conversation on the archives. So go back and listen to that. The one I can't take another question, really, because we're running out of time, but I want to say to you, focus on you. Focus on doing what's right for you, rather than being involved in other people's negativity, because that feeds negative spiritual activity as well. So focus on yourself and focus on the right things for you rather than other people's negativity, and you'll see that things improve a lot. And I wish you lots of luck.
Okay, but thank you.
Okay, bye now.
Thank you, Steve. It's hard. We have a time constraint of calls. I have a call from Texas. This is Maureen, and you're from Texas.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And what's your name?
I'm Miriam.
Miriam? Hi.
Yes.
And what can I help you with?
Real quick. I just recently pulled away from a relationship, primarily to see if I would gain some appreciation as far as recognition of what he had, you know, with me. Wondering if he's thinking about changing the way he had been with me, if there's any solution to the relationship, or is it something that's going to eventually fizzle out?
Okay, got it. So this, this is the thing. I get in the past, you guys had been going through a lot of useless sacrifices, and I always present it this way. You didn't get resurrection from resolve a lot of the problems. You can't repair the past with fantasy either. And,
right.
You know, the thing of it is, I do see that you've laid down some good boundaries. You put them in place, did you not? I mean, I'm asking you, I guess, because it appears like you have. And by doing so, you know, I do see this oddly. I mean, even though things aren't what they appear right now, I don't feel that it's going to be very easy in the next couple months. But as far as things getting back or having a fresh new start or a new beginning of some sort, I do get a good feeling about this. And there's other people that won't feel that way about this. There's some negative judgment coming from others outside the relationship. But I get a really good feeling that things are going to work out, and you'll see by action the effort that's being made. Not right now. Do you follow me on that?
Right, right.
Are you following me okay on what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. It's just that he's a bit younger than me. And he's always been head of household at home, always caring for mom and always caring for his younger siblings, and always been a very responsible, and he's pretty much set his life aside because he's been father figure and he's been, I guess, husband figure to his mother. And once we started our relationship 4 months ago, you know, people were recognizing that, you know, he was, you know, establishing a relationship outside of his home, and very little experiences as far as him dating or anything, because of course his priority was home.
Right.
And I guess at this point he's going through a withdrawal from home, and he's kind of in between a rock and a hard place. You know, he doesn't
right.
know how to please me and his mom, and can't reach that happy medium between both of us. So he's retracted from you know, transpiring with or going forward with our relationship. So he's been very limited with, you know, his feelings. So at this point, you know, it's been 4 months, but I still don't know if, you know, he's 100% into me, you know, or just 50% into me, because he's a very, you know, he doesn't reveal a lot. And it got very frustrating for me. And I said, okay, you know what, this is, I'm not getting what I'm deserving. I'm not getting the appreciation, because I've only been good to him. And, you know, I'm going to pull away and see if he's going to step up to the plate. And
yes,
at this
well,
point,
this
that's
is,
where I'm at.
Well, this is the thing. I do feel that he's like you said, he's in a situation, which is admirable what he's doing. But on the other hand, right now I see what's going to be going on in the next couple months is he's going to be losing it to the point where he's losing his personal power about sacrificing his own happiness or to live and thrive or to be open to experience, like with you, is going to get to the point where I see this is going to be a very positive time, because I do see you getting some good news about him taking the initiative as well as what he desires. And and everybody else will be judgmental, but he's going to step it up. That's why I feel that you should hang in there and not look at it that he doesn't want you. It hasn't anything to do with that. It has what you talked about. He's taken on too much on himself. Other people will try to pull him back in there, like his family, the judgment, negative judgment. Not to worry. I think this is going to be a very good potential relationship and with opportunity. I just feel you should hang in for a bit. And I don't feel you'll be disappointed.
So I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place myself, because it's a relationship that clearly is, I feel like it's got a lot of potential. And you know, I'm 34 going on 35, and at this point I don't feel like I can have the liberty of picking and choosing, and, you know, I want something
right.
more stable. And at this point, when I'm with him, I feel like, yeah, he deserves it, because he is a good guy, and he really does have a good heart. But at the same time, you know, I'm like, okay, am I wasting my time? You know, what is it that he's really feeling at this point?
Yeah, but the thing of it is, I don't see it as wasting your time. I mean, I feel that, you know, you have other things that I see. You have a good social, you know, you have girlfriends. I see you hanging out with girlfriends. You have things going on. I'm not saying for you to wait years, and he's not in a dysfunctional way. He's just needing to break away from his position, his title, what he's been doing. That's why I'm saying I would hang in there. If you don't, you know, I do see some, you will see an effort on his part within the next 2 months. It'll be difficult, but up into the next 2 months, you'll see it. It's not waiting that much longer. I would hang in there. And then at that point, you know, you could go out with anybody else, but I do feel that you two are really strongly connected. I wouldn't just, you know, brush it away. I wouldn't brush it off. I would give it a little bit more time, then make the decision. You know, I do. I just feel real positive about it.
And I guess another question is, you know, for 4 months, it was very almost daily, would, you know, talk, where you would, you know, send each other some type of communication. But since Saturday, I haven't heard from him. I'm wondering if, you know, I will hear a little something from him.
You know, I have to, I'm sorry, I have to move on, because we only have a few minutes for each caller, but, yes, you will hear from him, but I do see that. I do absolutely see that, but I do have to move on. But I feel just hang in there, and I do see you getting some good news from a phone call or something of that communication through that way. I do. Okay? Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maureen. I appreciate it.
I appreciate Thank you for calling. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. We have another caller.
Hello?
Is this our last caller? Is this?
Yeah,
is this-
I'm... There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Take it. All right. Hi. I did hear a hello. Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tamika.
Hi, Tamika. How are you?
Hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
What can I do for you?
Real quick, I have just two quick questions. One is about a job that I went to. I just went to my second interview on yesterday, but I haven't heard anything back from them.
It looks great.
I'm just trying to see if they're going to make me an offer or what's going on with them.
Okay.
And then the second one is about
Gosh, okay, hang on just a second, Tamika. I answered your first question twice already, and I don't think you heard me because I was trying. I think we were talking at the same time. So,
No, I didn't. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Yes, I think you will. It feels really good. It's a good vibration. I like the way the second interview went better than the first. You had a chance to redeem yourself a bit. It feels, and not that the first interview went so bad, but it just feels like you were stronger on the second interview, and they are impressed. So I think it's between you and another person, and you just seem to be a bit softer and more compassionate than the other person that was in there. And yeah, it feels really good for you. So what was your second question?
Okay, the second question is about a guy that I've been kind of seeing off and on. I don't know, things are shaky with us, but his name is David.
Would you be really upset if I said that it was probably a good thing to move on from that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I think so. Because the thing is that you're changing. You know, did you happen to know, and it kind of falls in with your job as well, did you notice some things during your interview process of how you felt? Didn't you just feel stronger and better and more confident as you were speaking?
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel that about yourself?
Yes.
So you're changing, and that's all been happening here in the past couple of months. And unfortunately, this person that you're talking about isn't changing with you. He's not coming along with you. He's still kind of just where he's at. And so you're kind of moving on, and that's what happens. We often – things kind of drop away from us. They kind of – shedding of – you know, as you're going through different changes, different people tend to drop off in your life. And I think you've reached that point, and I think that's what's happening here. I don't – what once was a good connection, you just have been spiritually advancing throughout. And he just isn't so much now. So that's okay. And it happens.
What's going on? Like,
what do you mean?
Is it that he's not feeling me? Or
you guys are in two different vibrations. No, you're changing. That's what's happening. You're spiritually advancing. He is not. Okay. And so that's why you're feeling different. That's why you're feeling better. That's why you felt really great coming out of those interviews, or you felt your whole vibration getting stirred up and you just felt completely connected to source during these interviews. That's what I'm saying, is it feels different than it really ever has before. And the thing is because, again, you're spiritually advancing and he's not coming along for the ride. So that's okay, and you can just imagine what you're going to be attracting into your life now. On this, there's no levels really, but if that's the way we were to talk, think about this new level that you're on, and you're going to attract people who are on this level now. Whole new set of supportive relationships, meaning friendships and people around you, not necessarily all these different men coming in and out of your life, but more supportive relationships in your life. Do you see what I mean?
Okay. So, did he, like, feel that? Is that why we haven't really been talking for the past?
In my experience, that's what happens, is that they no longer resonate with you. We draw people to us on a like vibration, right? And then when we start to change, and if you don't any longer, in some cases, commiserate with them, you no longer have those particular interests because you are changing, they tend to drop off. They tend to think that you're not as supportive or the way that you were before, or any one of a number of things. And so, yes, consciously or subconsciously, they feel that. And they tend to just go away. That's why we never really have to work at getting rid of relationships. In my experience, a lot of them take care of themselves. And people tend to come and go out of our lives as they do because of our vibration, what it is that we're putting out there. So that's why I'm asking you and kind of saying that all of this, if that's okay with you, you know, it's good to move on.
Okay.
You're just completely baffled, aren't you?
No, well, Bobby, not completely baffled. I mean, it just seems as though, like, the things, like, we both talked about, you know, things and the path changing, and I understand you saying that I'm changing faster than he is, but, you know, it's just kind of weird because, you know, I hadn't heard from him, and I know we kind of, not saying that the last time that we saw each other was really pleasant, but at the same time, I mean, you know, after a week, you know, I would have at least heard from him several times by now.
Right. I understand, sweetheart.
Yeah, we have
to kind of get wrapping up because we're at the end of the show. But if you kind of go back and listen to the archives and listen again, you might hear more of the answer that I gave you. And I did explain all of that. And if we had time, I totally would spend the time with you and explain it all again. Absolutely.
Okay, no problem.
Just the time constriction. So I'm sorry about that. But listen, you're headed for a great place.
Okay.
And good luck with your job, okay?
Thanks.
Okay,
thanks for calling in.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Nice, Bobby. Okay, that brings us to yet another wonderful show, I do declare. Thank you, Doug. I really appreciate you, and we all do, that works behind the scenes and does even more than that and keeps us on track and punishes us, no, as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Brenda. What do we have planned, Miss Brenda?
Well, it's the Reiki Man. It's about Reiki healing, and it's also it's an author, Dominic James. He's from the UK, and he's a Reiki master, and he wrote a book kind of combining his spirituality with a murder mystery. It's going to be pretty interesting.
You don't buy into all that stuff, do you?
You're a Reiki master.
Oh,
hey.
My God. No, that's right. I forgot.
Hello.
Sorry. Yeah, I forgot.
Reiki healing.
So we say goodnight on the funny note of YouTube funniness.
Goodnight, everyone. Good night. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.